Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please be seated. Today, along with over 1 billion other Christians around the world, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The single greatest victory in all of history is marked today. The victory of good over evil, life over death, and gladness over despair has been won through Christ Jesus. The victory that Jesus has won for us for our own sake has transformed the entire world and the trajectory of the human race forever. The world around us changes every day. It seems like every time I turn on the TV or look at my phone, there's an entirely new slate of information, scandals, and, of course, ads that I get to see. In a world like this, it seems like nothing is constant. But Jesus seems to be our only constant. Both amusing and frustrating, the evolution of our society has led to a world that seems to change by the second. On a deeper level, it seems as though the culture around us tells us what is right and what is wrong at the drop of a hat. What was wrong yesterday seems to be okay today. In a world that tells you just to do whatever, the only constant seems to be change. In some ways, though, this is beneficial. The marvels of medicine and technology have created a world where creature comforts are almost 1,000 times better than they were, say, 100 years ago. Yet, all of this change throws stability out the window. Less and less Americans are attending church or even believe in God at all, simply because they already have it all and they want more. On a day like today, Easter, we must remember the root of all this sin and lust, Adam. The first sin of Adam and Eve in the garden was the desire for something more. They literally had all they needed, yet they wanted to push the limits and have the one thing they couldn't, the forbidden fruit. This one sin drove God's entire creation into chaos, and sin corrupted everything. Yet, even from the onset of sin into the world, God promised to defeat sin. The Proto-Evangelion, or for those of you who don't know Greek, is the first gospel and is recorded in Genesis 3:15. In that verse, God says that he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Those words are the first gospel. Sin eventually brought God into the world to fulfill his promise that he made. Through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, he became man and kept his word. Even today, God keeps his word, even though we don't quite understand. Through God's chosen nation, Israel, we see time and time again in the Old Testament that God was faithful to his people and kept his word. The Old Testament reading for today, which Pastor read, comes from Exodus 14. In the Old Testament text, the people of Israel are escaping slavery under Pharaoh and are wandering in the wilderness. That would have really been terrible. You're stuck in the desert, you don't have anything, except God provided what they needed. First you escape a brutal regime, and now you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. The Israelites simply could not understand what was going on. They were angry, upset, and terrified. In fact, they even asked God to leave them alone. Yet, God kept his word. God did not abandon his people in their time of need. Even though they didn't know it, nor understood it, he was in complete control. In fact, God even tells Moses, "The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent." Through God's sheer mercy, Israel was delivered. They merited absolutely nothing in the situation and in fact made matters worse. Yet God, in his eternal faithfulness, delivered them from the bondage of Pharaoh and they crossed the Red Sea while Pharaoh's army was crushed. In the same way also, God delivered his creation from the bondage of sin. The same God that saved the Israelites time and time again, indeed the same God that created the earth, took on human flesh and became man to rescue us from our sin. The same God that made the moon, stars, and everything else became one of us. He became a human who, just like us, suffered from pain, disappointment, sadness, anger, and all other maladies of this world. Why would an omnipotent and almighty God do such a thing? Wouldn't it have been easier for him just to forget about us and move on? It just doesn't make sense. Yet God, being merciful and loving, descended to our lowly existence and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, who being both fully God and fully human, was the consummation of the first gospel which was spoken after Adam and Eve's first sin. Today's gospel lesson notes the single greatest event in all of human history, and we still can't understand it. The first five verses note that there were three people who went to the tomb at first on Easter morning: John, Simon Peter, and Mary Magdalene. While John and Simon Peter went off, Mary Magdalene stayed, even though she didn't understand it. Our scripture notes that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, looked in the tomb and saw it empty and still believed. Now John, who was one of Jesus' closest disciples, believed. Yet our scripture notes that John just didn't understand. How does that make sense? How do you see an empty tomb and not understand what happened? You're face to face with the single greatest event in human history, and you just don't get it? Well, the answer that he believed is faith. John's faith in the resurrection was not because he had seen it. Indeed, he did see it, but not even that it made sense in his mind. The only explanation is that John's faith came from God alone. It didn't come from his own observation or his own deeds or his own good works. Would you believe that Jesus rose from the grave if you were face to face with the tomb? Well, John did, but he just didn't get it. God gave him his faith, even though he didn't understand. Mary Magdalene was also at the tomb, yet she wept as though somebody had taken Jesus' body. Twice she is asked why she is weeping, and both times she still doesn't comprehend what has taken place. Her mere human observation was not enough to grant her understanding of the marvelous happening that happened right in front of her face. In fact, Jesus, whom she did not even recognize at first, had to call out her name, Mary, and then she recognized him. Even though she didn't really understand, Jesus granted her her faith, and it was not of her own doing. In the end, she notes this faith by saying, "I have seen the Lord." Much like Mary and John, we really just don't get it. How on earth would the same God that created the universe come into flesh and be brutally beaten and die for our sins? We just don't know. Thankfully for us, God grants his Holy Spirit to grant us all faith today. Just like Mary, the only way that we can be saved is through God granting us faith. There's no temporal way for us to understand what Jesus did on Easter morning so long ago. Yet God is most assuredly still with us. Through the Holy Spirit enlightening us through the Scriptures and through faithful reception of the Lord's Supper and in our baptism, we are kept in the faith, even though we don't quite get it. The end result of the resurrection of Jesus on Easter is the fact that we are given faith, and we don't create that faith. And that faith saves us. Through no act or understanding through ourselves, we are granted freedom from the bondage of sin, and not by our own merit are we granted salvation. Solely through the love and mercy of God, through his Son Jesus Christ, and preserved by the Holy Spirit, we are part of the eternal victory over death. Let us rejoice in the resurrection. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.